It's Belinda Carlisle, Heaven is a Place on Earth, and this is the Home Run with Lee Dixon. On Monday, Arvos, we check in with Colin at Full Life Pharmacy in Ulverston for Home Run Health Matters. And today, we're talking about COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Good afternoon to Collinwood. Hello.
G'day, Lee. How are you?
Well, thank you. Now, that's our topic for today. Why did you want to have a chat about COPD?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful when you say the full thing, isn't it? But the reason is that last Wednesday, November the 16th, was World COPD Day to bring attention to the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease that you mentioned, which is a disease that, as you may have guessed, affects your lungs. Their focus was your lungs for life because, we only get one set of lungs, so we need to do everything we can to look after them and preserve them. And I guess it's important because one in seven people over the age of 40 live with some degree of COPD, and half of those remain undiagnosed. So it's something that people perhaps don't know about. And I guess people also confuse asthma with COPD and think they're the same thing. So perhaps today we'll have a look at some of the differences and some of the issues around COPD.
Okay. So what is the difference between COPD and asthma then?
Well, both diseases are things that affect the lungs and restrict our ability to breathe properly. However, there's a couple of things that are different. Asthma is mainly caused by smooth muscle around your airways constricting to cause the airways to narrow to make it harder to breathe. So if you imagine like a python snake wrapped around your airways and sort of squeezing them, that sort of happens. So if you can relax that smooth muscle and get that python to let go, then you can breathe all more easily. And asthma is like that. Whereas COPD is more about inflammation, and the inflammation is, you may have known, as bronchitis or chronic bronchitis, but it's also about irreparable damage to your airways, which is known as emphysema, and those are the main two forms of COPD, and it's damage that can't be reversed by medication or treatment and generally gets worse over time. So it can be managed so that it doesn't get worse, but you need to sort of get on top of it to manage it so that you can have good quality of life and control your symptoms.
Okay, so is it easy to know whether someone is suffering with asthma or COPD?
Well, the symptoms can be similar, and there is some crossover between the two. Both asthma and COPD can cause difficulty breathing and then cause coughing and wheezing, but with asthma, those symptoms can, in most cases, be managed with the correct medication so that your lung function isn't actually deteriorating, whereas with COPD, the symptoms are treatable, but the damage to the airways and the alveoli, which are the little sacs at the bottom of our lungs where the oxygen exchange occurs, they can't be repaired. So once the damage is done, it's done, you're with it for life.
Now, you mentioned earlier that one in seven people over the age of 40 are likely affected by COPD. What are the main causes?
Well, as you can imagine, exposure to tobacco smoke is one of the main ones. It's long-term cigarette smoking or passive smoking even sort of puts you at bigger risk, and the more you smoke, the bigger risk you are. So certainly smokers and secondhand smoke is a big risk. Certainly people with asthma are at more risk of COPD, especially if their asthma isn't managed all that well. And if you combine those two of asthma and smoking, then that makes you even a worse client for COPD, I guess. Dusts and chemicals, maybe at your work or at home, can sometimes cause inflammation in your lungs and cause damage. And similarly with fumes to, cooking or petrol or those sorts of things can really cause some problems. There is a small percentage of people as well who have a genetic thing that can make them more susceptible. I think it's about 1% of cases are caused by a genetic disorder with a deficiency in a particular gene, which has a big long name, which I can't quite pronounce. But they're more susceptible to COPD as well.
So for anybody listening today that has COPD, what can be done to ease the symptoms if they're unaware?
Yeah, well, certainly taking away those triggers that I mentioned, exposure to smoke and stop smoking if you're able to. If you have asthma, keeping your asthma under good control and having a written down asthma plan so that you know what to do when your asthma flares up will all reduce the damage to your lungs, which is going to lead to COPD. Reduced exposure to fumes and chemicals in the home or the workplace. There's also a thing called pulmonary rehabilitation, and that's about learning some special breathing techniques so that you learn how to control your breathing when you become breathless and how to sort of remove some of the congestion on your lungs. And I guess one little test for that is if, your diaphragm, when you breathe in, if your tummy goes out, it means your diaphragm's working, and if your chest goes out when you breathe in, it means your chest is doing the work, and you really want your diaphragm to be doing all the work. So there's a little exercise that you can do to make you change your breathing so that is what happens. And probably the best place to start with that is speaking to a physiotherapist who do a bit of pulmonary rehabilitation to, get those exercises going.
What about medication? Is there any available?
Well, yeah, certainly. You know, a lot of them have the same puffers that are used for asthma, maybe used for COPD as well. But the classic sort of Ventolin-type inhalers, which are helped for asthma, they're more for relaxing those muscles that I mentioned before with, you know, the restriction through smooth muscle around your airways. So they're not a huge value in COPD, although they can be some... give some relief in some cases, but generally it's the preventer type inhalers which reduce inflammation and stop deterioration of your lungs, which are more useful in helping COPD, and there's a great range of those. So finding a combination that works best for you is really important. So having regular checkups with your doctor to make sure that whatever puffs you're using are still relevant, because over time, as you deteriorate, your lung function can change, so the puffers may need to be... you know, varied or the dose has changed. And I guess the final way is with a pulse oximeter device, which can be helpful as well.
Right. I think I've heard you talk about that before. They're the same devices that have been given out by the COVID at Home program. Is it for people that have breathing problems there?
So what they do, they can use to be to check whether your blood is fully oxygenated. So it's just a little thing that you clip on the end of your finger and it gives you a reading on, you know, on the amount of oxygen in your blood. And you want it to be up around, you know, close to 100 or certainly between 95 and 100. But if you get to know where your normal number is, you can detect when your oxygen exchange isn't as good as it should be. So, you know, it gives an indication that perhaps the puffers that you're using or whatever medication you're using for COPD isn't doing its job, and it's time to go back and see your doctor.
Right. Any more questions about COPD, ask your pharmacist. Colin Wood from 4Life Pharmacy in Ulverston, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Great, Lee. Thanks.